U.S. immigration authorities are continuing to deport Iraqis despite the turmoil of anti-government demonstrations in that country. Many of those Iraqis in the U.S. legally but not American citizens came to the U.S. as children. As NPR's Jane Arraf reports, most arrive in Iraq without the documents or the skills to get by.
I'm walking up to the apartment where Jimmy El Dawood lived and died 2 months after being deported from the U.S.
This one.
The electricity is out. There's the whine of a generator in this building, wedged between grocery shops and a downtown street. Dawood was 41. He'd never been to Iraq when he was deported here in the summer. But he had Iraqi citizenship and a string of felony convictions. So Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, picked him up in Michigan, put him on a plane, and sent Dawood, a Christian, to the holy Shia city of Najaf.
His family called me. They told him, please go pick up Jimmy. And he ain't got no papers. He ain't got no clothes, nothing, not even a penny. Anyways, he came, and it was the pressure because he can't, at least I can speak a little bit Arabic. Him, not Chaldean, not Arabic, nothing.
That's Samer Kada. He was also part of Michigan's Chaldean Christian community. Kada is covered in tattoos, including Da Vinci's The Last Supper, inked all the way up his arm. He stands out in Baghdad. He lived next door to Dawood and tried to watch out for him. 2 weeks before he died, another deportee recorded a video with Dawood on the street outside. In it, Dawood says he's scared and he's sick.
I don't understand the language, anything. I'm diabetic. I take insulin shots. I've been throwing up, trying to find something to eat.
Dawood was diabetic and, according to his family, bipolar and schizophrenic. In the U.S., he'd been homeless for years. Kata says ICE deported him with a month's worth of insulin. It's not clear whether they sent him with any other meds. ICE will only say it deported him with an adequate supply of medication. Death records say he died of heart failure. Kata says Dawood was afraid to leave his apartment. He'd sit around reading the Bible and the Quran and drinking soda and smoking cigarettes. He left his insulin out in the heat.
He talked to himself all day. God, please take me back home. Please, God. I don't know nothing over here. I'm scared. I'm Christian. I'm this, I'm that. He was walking over here naked, like with no clothes. I thought, we can't do that over here. Like he was going crazy.
Kada was in Lebanon when Dawood called him, on the floor crying and saying he couldn't breathe. An ambulance took him to hospital, where he was discharged a few hours later. When another Iraqi friend checked on him at home later that day, Dawood was lying on the floor, dead. In Dawood's bedroom, there's an unused syringe for the insulin shots he'd forget to take. And on the windowsill, there are two plastic toy guns with orange foam caps and bright pink plastic darts he thought would keep him safe.
Look. He sleeps with these in his hand. Every time the door opens, he do like this. Every time.
Kata pretends to shoot someone.
Toy gun? Yeah, he got him. He said, if somebody comes, I'm going to pull it on him. I swear to God.
Dawood's death caused an outcry in the Michigan community he was from. His congressman is working on a bill to try to get ICE to put deportations to Iraq on hold. But ICE has kept up the deportations, sending back Iraqis who haven't lived in Iraq for decades or never lived there, back with no Iraqi ID. Without ID, when they land, they're subject to arrest at checkpoints. They can't rent apartments or get money wired.
We can't speak Arabic. We can't read and write. We can't do nothing. We can't go anywhere.
Kada has money here, but most of the Iraqis deported here have nothing.
It's shocking. Everything is shocking to me.
I meet Nishat Butrus at a shelter run by a church in Baghdad. He has a bunk in a big bare room. There are clothes neatly folded on it. There's a picture of the Virgin Mary taped to a metal locker. Butrus was deported in July. He'd done time years ago for cocaine possession.
I always supported my habit by working, never depended on the country, never depended on the government by giving me an aid, or I always took care of myself.
He says he's been clean for years. He was deported with no money, no clothes, and no relatives here. He speaks only broken Arabic. He stayed with Jimmy Dawood for a few days. An aid organization is trying to help him get ID.
This is it.
Oh. He shows me the one-way travel document issued by the Iraqi embassy in Washington. It's in English, and it has a photo of him in an orange prison jumpsuit.
And now this government here, they're not believing in this travel documents. I can't get no IDs. I have no IDs. And I'm not allowed to leave this compound because I don't have anything to prove who I am.
He says once he gets an Iraqi ID, he'll start looking for a job. Maybe go to the Kurdish region of Iraq where he can use his English. Baghdad scares him, he says. He still can't believe he's ended up here. Jane Araf, NPR News, Baghdad.